Welcome to Wolf Den Saturday Set, where the confidence in the camp is sky high. We're pumped, aren't we, Kings?
Big we are day on pumped. Saturday. We are pumped. Yeah, I had a look at the fields last night and this morning. So some of the best racing I've seen in a long while. I am excited and I'm ready to rip right into these bookies.
I love to hear it. Fizzer, welcome. How are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, boys. I'm good. Great racing this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Very good. So we're going to start talking about Victorian racing because we're celebrating the Festival of Racing with our good friends at racing.com. And let's talk about Flemington. So there's some interesting things happening there. It's going to be hot.
It is.
We might not be racing at the normal time. We might be coming forward to 10:45 a.m.
Yep.
Racing Victoria are going to make a decision about that tomorrow. A couple of interesting scratchings. We know that Jimmy Starr's not racing at Flemington. Mm. Racing at Newcastle on Friday. And we believe that to try and help his chances possibly of going in at Doncaster.
I think so, yeah. And South Australia's come forward as well to 10:30. So I think I'd be surprised. They always seem to err on the side of caution. So I'd be surprised if they didn't come forward.
Mm, yeah, I think they will. I think they will too. And the other big scratching, which interested me, was Espiona. I can see difficult decision for Chris Waller and his form team because they could take on Imperatrix up the straight, or they've got to come to Sydney and take on Think About It. And they decided to come to Sydney and take on Think About It, which is very interesting.
Yes.
First feature race I want to talk about, and we're going to talk about four feature races from Flemington, is the Newmarket Handicap. And there's a lot to discuss here. So during the week, I put this Twitter poll up. And you can see there it says, I put it up, I said, if Black Caviar lined up in the Newmarket this Saturday with 58 kilos, what price would she be roughly, right? And I personally thought maybe $1.50 or something. I was wildly wrong, and we're going to unpack why I was wildly wrong, which you'll all enjoy. Mm-hmm. So the Twitter poll, really interesting, that we had a good sample size. You got 1,257 votes there. 77% of people said she'd be roughly $1.25. Then I went to the big end of town to Dan O, and I was like, I actually want to know what price he thinks she would be in the Newmarket this
And what did he
week.
Say?
He said what we're about to watch now. Let's watch it and listen. Black Caviar ran in the Newmarket this year. She would start $1.05 to $1.12 at most. She started $1.18 in the 2011 Newmarket with 58 kilos against the field that is comparable to this year. That was only her 10th career start and she was already a freak. But in that race, she rated higher than her previous peak and went on to match that a couple of other times in her career. On that basis, she would have to start shorter than $1.18. And Black Caviar is coasting. This is a bit, I like, watch this now. You just forget how good she was.
I get goosebumps watching this. She's such a champion.
Now watch it. This is a 10 start. This is unprecedented. 10 straight.
Black Caviar by four. Crystal Lillian beaded. What a champion.
Yeah, great horse. Perfect. Three
lengths, Crystal Lily. In a rating sense, she was consistently 113 to 115 horse on my scale. With 58 kilos in brackets plus 1.5 kilograms on the weight for age scale, that takes her down to 112 to 114 at the weights. Imperatrix is 106 to 108 mare. Her 108 came at Moonee Valley and she is 106 up the Flemington Straight. She would have to get 7.5 kilos in weight off Black Caviar to theoretically put them somewhere on level terms at the weights. With the same weight, she would have no chance. Halis was a solid 110 horse on his best and couldn't match her. Imperatrix is only 106 to 108. She's seriously good, but not elite in the context of the best sprinters we've seen in the last 20 years. Nature Strip was 109 to 111 horse on his very best runs, better than Imperatrix. Right, so there you go.
Yeah.
Well, really well summarised by Dan. I found that really interesting.
Well, he talks facts, he talks figures, he talks a lot of sense. So say $1.10. Interesting, Haylist rates higher than Imperatrix as well, because Haylist was always the bridesmaid. And Black Caviar was always around that dollar sort of $10 to $1.20 mark. So it makes a lot of sense.
Just quickly, my favourite Black Caviar story was when we went to Royal Ascot. And you remember about 2 months before you said to me, let's go watch Black Caviar at Royal Ascot. And I was like, I don't think I can afford that. And you were like, well, whatever.
Don't worry about it.
Whatever the trip costs, we'll have on her. I was like, okay, cool. And then I was a young man. I think I shouted myself business class and took my girlfriend. It ended up being like 20 grand or something. So getting, and she just kept firming and firming and firming, right?
Yeah.
And then come race day, I'm like, I didn't even have 100,000 to have on her to try and get the 20,000 back. But then I remember saying to you, are you going to stick solid and do what you said? And when you worked out, you had to have 200,000 on at about $1.20 or $1.25.
Yeah, which I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember I was pretty nervous. I think I ended up having 5,000 on. We were at Royal Ascot. You were there. You handled it pretty well. But when Luke Nolan dropped his hands.
What helped me is I couldn't see that well. I was trying to look between people. But I did get, very nervous on the big screen. I went to at the 50-metre mark. But I did never think she was going to get beat. But she just fell in, didn't she? She wasn't right that day from all reports. So what a champion.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's move on to this year's new mark, and let's have a good talk about, maybe the best sprinter we've got at the moment, Imperatrix. Obviously, we love her. She's, one of the favourite horses of the den. What did you make of her chances on Saturday, and what did you make of the rest of the field in the new market?
Yeah, well, I'm disappointed Espiona's come out because I thought Espiona was really good value. But so Imperatrix is around the $2.80 mark. I think she will drift. I think a lot of people will be against her. The weight, 58 kilos. Her rating first up was less than anything she did in the spring as well. So has she come back as good? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Can she go to, back to where she was? Maybe. It's an extra 200 metres, 1,000 to 1,200. I am going to back Imperatrix. I'm not super confident about her winning, but I think she'll get to $3 or $3.20. I think we'll get a good price. Second pick, Buenos Noches, I backed first up at Randwick and was very disappointing. I know there's good mail around for Magic Time, really well fancied by the camp. So, yeah, I'm going to be on Imperatrix. I think we'll get good value in the end, but I'm going to wait. Fizz, what do you think?
This is her biggest test, Fizz, isn't it? If she wins this, she's...
Yeah, this will sort of like put her in a different category if she can win this with the weight she's got. My form hates her. Mm-hmm. I have a third last pick, which is bizarre, but is what it is. It's not a betting race, but Magic Time to me looks the top pick and actually looks good value at around the $8 mark or something, I think they're betting. It's a great race. It's hard to pot a really good horse who's won like I think six straight or whatever she's won.
Yep.
But in my opinion, she's a lay in that race.
And your form's heavily reliant on weight, isn't it? So that's probably
a reason. It's a pretty big factor, but I did have a look at all the ratings and there is horses in the last three starts that have rated better than her last three starts off my stuff.
There's no pace in this race again, the same as her first up race, the 1,000-metre race. So it's going to be interesting if it just becomes a sit and sprint again or whether something sort of goes forward. She's drawn barrier three as well, so track bias could play a part. There's a lot of...
What about heat? The heat. Apparently she didn't like the heat in the Grand Ball trial.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned that. So there's a few negatives there and that's why I think she'll drift, but I think she'll get to a decent price and I'm going to have a small bet.
No one will be cheering harder than me. I really hope she wins. Let's move to Flemington Race 6, the CUNY Stakes. Group 2, 3-year-old fillies.
Yes.
What did you make of it?
My bet in the race, I'll be fairly quick, is Grinzinger Bell. Went enormous last run over 1,400, shot straight to the front, did it at both ends, went really hard and finished off, strong through the line. I'm surprised you can get about $6 at the moment. It looks a really, really attractive price to me. Drawn out wide, will do the same again. Rinse and repeat.
Is that an official Saturday set tip, though?
Yes, it is. Imperatrix wasn't, but Grinzinger Bell is an official Saturday set tip.
Fantastic. King Fizzar.
Yeah, I'm on Molly Nicker's side this time. 1,400 first up, chased a pretty hot speed. I think it came out of the same race as Grinzinger Bell. Had to chase from the tail and Grinzinger Bell, like King said, went hard and sort of broke their hearts a little bit. This time, 1,600 second up. I can see Molly Nickers settling in the second half of the field, having its chance to run them down in the straight. I thought the dangers were number one, Sarasana, who sat wide first up, and Grinzinger Bell, I'll give it a good chance too. They're my three in that race, but my bet is Molly Nickers.
Very good. Let's move to Flemington Race 7, the Shaftesbury Avenue Handicap, Group 3 race.
So Jimmy's come out, yeah?
Yeah, Jimmy's definitely not running.
Jimmy's out. So it leaves us with two hopes. Amenable, who I'm tipping, has had two jump outs and went to the lead in these two jump outs and was super impressive. Amenable was getting back until last start where he finished sixth. So they obviously want to go forward more on Amenable, which I think will suit. I reckon Amenable's in for a massive autumn. The other hope in the race is a UK horse trained by Kieran Maher called Berkshire Shadow. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about it. Can you get him on the phone? You get all the mail these days.
No, I haven't.
Get Kieran on the phone. We need to find out what's going on. But that's the query. But apart from the other raced horses that we know about, I think Amenable will beat them home. I am a bit worried about Berkshire Shadow, but I really think Amenable's in for a good autumn, as I said, and Amenable is an official Saturday set tip. Fizzer?
Love it.
Amenable is officially a Saturday set tip for me.
Whoa! It's a matchup.
It's my best bet in Melbourne all day. It looks like it's going to come back very good after it's been gelded. And I'm really keen to have a good bet on it.
Oh, so it's just it's been gelded.
Been
come
gelded
back.
Too, yeah.
Jeez, it showed some pace in those trials and looked good.
And, yeah, it looked really good.
Yep.
Flemington Race 8, the Matron Stakes, 1600. Group 3 for four-year-old mares and older.
I'm with Unusual Culture in this race. Rock Hard Fit, coming back from 1800 to 1600, will race on pace. Not a super strong bet for me, but the only bet in the race. Yeah, I thought around the $5 mark at the moment, I thought was a decent value. What do you say, Fizz?
Yeah, well, we've lined up again here. I've backed Unusual Culture. I love the 1800 back to 1600 after last start where it just sort of got run over in the last sort of 150, 200 metres, so it should be perfectly suited this time. The two dangers, Foxy Frida and Eternal Flame, probably sit second last and last, which gives us every hope to sort of skip clear and get away with the win. So pretty keen on Unusual Culture too.
Very good. Okay, that's the feature racing done for Flemington. Did you have something to say?
I do. Double matchup. You don't see that very often.
No, that's
just right. Rip right in.
Yeah.
So that's the feature racing done for Flemington. Just before we move on, our good friends of the Melbourne Racing Club, they're getting ahead of the game. They've got four free tickets for anyone watching this show to the All-Star Mile Saturday week. It's going to be an epic day out there. I'll actually be there with Uncle Malvin. We'll be doing some filming of content, which we're really excited about. So if you do happen to see us, please come and say good day. We'd love to do that. But go and get the tickets. It's hard to get a better deal than that. Four free tickets to one of the best days of the year. So it's time to move to Sydney, where it is an incredible day of racing. We can start with Randwick Race 5, the Todman Stakes. It's the best Todman Stakes.
Royal Randwick.
Royal Randwick. It's the best Todman Stakes I've ever seen.
Great crop of two-year-olds this year. I agree with you. I'm fired up for the Golden Slipper, actually, and I love these lead-up races. So this is a cracking Todman. We've got Straight Charge, we've got Espionage, and we've got Switzerland. I don't think there's that much between these three horses, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how this pans out. Odds-wise, Espionage is $4.80. Switzerland about 360 and Straight Charge is favoured around that 270 mark. So I don't think there's a lot between them. I think Espionage has got the most improvement out of those three horses. I think Espionage is suited to Randwick more than the other two horses as well. He didn't settle last start. That's why I think he's got a bit of improvement. And he met Straight Charge two races ago I can't remember the name of the race. But he sat three wide, he attacked the line, and he got up and beat him at Randwick. If you go back to that race and have a look at it, that's why I think there's
– like way back.
Breeders' Plate. It was a Breeders' Plate, yeah. I think Espionage is a great bet at 480, and he's an official Saturday set tip.
Love it. Fizzo.
I think King's rounded that out pretty good. It looks a bit tough for me. They're all going up to 1,200 for the first time. You just got to try and find that one that's going to hit the line strongly, and King sounds like he's pretty keen on Espionage to do that. I thought Switzerland out of all the horses gets the best run in the race, other than Straight Charge or lead, but it'll probably get pestered in front a little bit. So, yeah, interesting tactics from the wide gate for Kings, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. It's a good little race.
Nash is going to have to be at his best. He's drawn the widest barrier 10, but he'll slide across. I think there'll be a lot of pace. Hopefully he can get in about fourth or fifth with cover.
And you guys haven't even mentioned Bodyguard or Shangri-La Express, which any other year.
I'm against them both.
Yeah, so Bodyguard was near favourite for the Blue Diamond and then got scratched on the day, and it's sort of the forgotten horse in this race. I couldn't, like, it's $11 or something. That shows the gap of what people think between the Melbourne and Sydney form.
Correct.
All right, let's move to Randwick Race 7, the Canterbury Stakes, 1,300 metres, Group 1. The big boy, he's back.
The big boy is back, think about it, coming off an Everest victory. First up, small field, will get back. His main rival is Espiona, who will get back in the field. There is a lot of pace in this race, but small fields worry me. I think there's only two hopes. Will be around about the $2 mark. Espiona's around about the 360 mark. Is there any value there? Probably not. I've been burned on small fields favourites. We saw what happened to Fangirl last week, where the track pattern in the end sort of played against her. So I'm tipping Think About It. I'm going to have a small bet on Think About It, but I don't think About It is a good thing.
Cool. Fizzer?
Couldn't really split them either. And like Kings, it's just a little bit of a no bet race just because of the prices. And I thought there was two hopes as well. So that's it for that race.
Very good. Let's move to one of the classics on the calendar, Randwick Race 8, the Randwick Guineas, 1600 metres, Group 1 3-year-olds, cracking field.
I think there's two hopes, Militarize and Celestial Legend. Once again, I think Celestial Legend, I don't have that much between them. I think Celestial Legend is a much better price. The way he attacked the line last start, got in the gap and went bang straight through. Over 1,400 up to 1,600 is going to suit. I think he's in for a massive autumn, Celestial Legend, as Mark Sheen pointed out about 6 months ago. Yep. So he's right again.
Some people got some futures on him, yeah.
Mm. Fizz?
Yeah, good horse, I agree. Militarized looks a bit short for me. Mm. I mean, I've got it top pick, but $2.30 compared to $4, the other one. Both of them will probably, Celestial Legend probably roll a bit more forward and be in front of the other one. So just be interested to see the tactics on the weekend on Militarized from the inside, one of the inside draws.
Well, Celestial's drawn wide as well, so it's going to need a bit of
I think he'll
luck,
work across the midfield though. And I think Militarized, from what I looked at, every map that I looked at looked like it was going to get back on the fence. See what happens though.
I've made him an official Saturday Septic as well, so there's four.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'm very confident on Saturday. And you know what, which is unusual for me, none of those horses are odds on. None of them are $2. They're all a decent value.
This could be the day.
I'm very confident. They all look good odds.
Do you want to finish off your Saturday set now? If you've got anything else outside of those two venues?
Nothing.
Nothing.
There's four, that's it.
Okay, great.
Four tips, four winners.
Any other outside Saturday set?
Yeah, obviously we talked about Amenable, but race seven in the Gold Coast, a horse called Chinny Boom, just looks perfectly suited, 1,100 first up, and Polly finds a much weaker race than what it's been in last couple of starts. And then Murray Bridge, race seven, number nine, a horse called Annie's Rose is first up, trialled really nicely. It will get back over 1,000 metres, so I'm hoping the Murray Bridge straight is long enough for it to gobble them up. Mm-hmm. But it's around the $7 mark, and I'm pretty keen to be on it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. I'm now going to read the A-teams set, and I'll start with Chris Camilleri, who's tips a lot of winners, as I keep saying. He did it again last week.
Yep.
Flemington, race one, number four, Hedge. Talented gelding resuming over the suitable 1,100 metres with Jamie Carr booked to ride. Will settle handy throughout in the small field and the Flemington straight will suit. And now there's a lot of support for your horse, Fizzer, Gold Coast race seven, number three, Chinny Boom. Dream Team's tipping it and Dano, and I'll quickly read what Dano's summation was. Fresh off a 56-day break after a fast run, 1,300 metres was too much for her on Magic Millions Day. Back to 1,100 metres is ideal, and two prior ratings over 1,100 and 1,200 metres are a couple of lengths better than her opposition in this race. She maps ideally from an inside draw, and while short in the market, I've got her marked shorter with a decent value edge. And also, people might want RI staking plan. It was only average last week, but stick with me. Here it is up on the screen now. All right, so I love this staking plan. We're going to start Flemington race one, number four, Hedge. We're going to go with two units. Chris Camilleri is in great form. I also know that the King's Own and Dream Team really like this horse as well. We've got 10-unit strategy, of course. We're going to roll to the Todman Stakes, the best Todman I've seen for a long time. We're going to have one unit on Espionage. We're going to roll to Randwick Race 8, number 3, Celestial Legend, another one-unit play. Back to Flemington for races 6 and 7 in race 6, number 4, Grizzinger Bell, one-unit play. In race 7, number 3, Amenable, a two-unit play because the King's Own so confident. Got to go up to the Goldie, up to Gold Coast race 7, number 3, Chinny Boom. Everyone's declaring it, so we'll make that a two-unit play. And then I like to stick with Fizzer at Murray Bridge, race 7 and number 9, Annie Rose, one unit. Let's go up the den.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the podcast by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun this autumn festival of racing with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insights straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke at this autumn festival of racing.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
All right, it's time to announce something exciting.
What's that?
So, well, people are always like, oh, we'd love to come and hang with you in the den, and we'd love to have a lot of people in, but the den's a pretty small area. We could probably, at our best, fit 20 people in, right? So I wanted to work out how we could try and replicate the den somewhere else. And then I saw that Ladbrokes have Ladbrokes lounges, and they've put a huge amount of money into these Ladbrokes lounges. They basically go to a pub, deck them out with the TVs, the grouse, lounges, all that kind of stuff. So I went to Ladbrokes and said, hey, can we take over one of your Ladbrokes lounges for the day, the den? And they said, sure. And what we've come up with is, you can see on your screen here, the greatest show on turf. So we're going to have a punt party for day one of the championships at the Hudson Hotel, which is at Seven Hills in Sydney. I understand there's a lot of people who probably live a million miles away from the Seven Hills Hotel, But if this is successful, we'll definitely try and do it in other venues around the country and have a lot of fun. Here's a bit of vision of us there on Super Bowl Day. We went out there on Super Bowl Day, didn't we, Kings?
We certainly did, yeah. No, it's a great place.
So we're going to have the run of the joint. We can fit 170 people. You can see there's a million different TVs. It's exclusive for Wolf Den members. We're going to have a fantastic time. We've got Glenn Munns.
The Munns is back.
Munns is going to come out and help us run the day. You can see there we got put in a booth. We actually ended up sitting with Maddie and Cooper Johns, which was a bit of fun. They were out there promoting the day for the Hudson Hotel.
It was fun. Yeah, it's a great spot. There's TVs everywhere. The food's good. The beers are flowing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
There's me. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to put a lot of effort into it. I think another thing about the Den Kings is that part of the reason we started is because we had all these great days over the last 20 years, whatnot. We'd be at a pub, we'd get a group of mates together, we'd bet, we'd try and win.
Yeah, it's great.
Often we had
JV.
The JV, the joint venture, and often we'd have good results. Obviously, you get yourself in difficult positions and you blast out, and obviously that's all part of the fun. So that's what we want to do at the Hudson Hotel on day one of the championships. It's free to come. All you have to do is go and book a table, but you do need to book a table because we can only fit 170 people. So if you're in Sydney or anywhere, I mean, and if there's some people out there, there's some pretty hardcore OGs on the Den who might make the trip up from where they live, that'd be brilliant. But come and spend the day with us on the punt. We'll put a lot of effort into trying to make us all win on the day. We'll have a punters club. There'll be merch. There'll be giveaways. Ladbrokes are very, very generous. At the Super Bowl party, they were giving away a lot of stuff. It'll be a brilliant day. We would love to see you there. The link to book is in the description. Let's move to NRL Kings. Were you happy with the Vegas experiment?
Yeah, I think it went really well. They got 40,000. I think 25,000 of those were Aussies. But everyone who I've spoken to was over there, had a really good time. I think it was a complete success. Nothing like look at the Everest that BVL did. It started slow and then built up. So I think they're over there for another 4 years and good luck to them. I think it went really well. My Roosters defended really well. I was super impressed with them. Yep. And I backed both winners. So if I had to back both losers, I would have hated it and said what a failure it was. So next week, my best bet is the Dolphins with 6.5 start with Ladbrokes. Everyone else was 5.5. Ladbrokes is 6.5. And I think it's a really good start at Suncorp. I like the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic. So we're sort of getting close to wrapping up. Obviously, we've launched AI. It's been received really well. People can use it on the weekend. We're going to spend a bit of time next week trying to put a little bit of content together to explain how to use it better. That should help people with it.
Yeah, we're also getting the results tabulated and we can put them up every Friday. So not tomorrow, but next Friday they'll be going up. We'll see how we're going in track, whether we're winning or we're losing. I think at the moment Golden Bullets are doing really well. The backs are losing and we got a roughie up yesterday. So it takes time.
It does. Rome wasn't built today.
Onwards and upwards.
That's it. And don't forget our merch. It's the best merch in the game. Go buy it. It's definitely the most comfortable merch you can punt in. That's about it. I think it's time to wrap up. Yep.
Let's go and bet.
Let's go and bet up the Den. Thank you.